Well, if you are here for the first time again, we just want to say welcome. Thank you for coming and attending a sisterhood event. My name is Louise, and I am the Women's Ministry Director here at Lakeshore. And I've been married for 26 years to a pretty good-looking man who happens to be the pastor of Lakeshore. We have four children, and we have two grandbabies with one on the way. And in fact, it is my granddaughter's birthday today. She's turning three, and she has brought so much joy to her papa and I. I cannot tell you. Charlie likes to just call up our daughter and say, let us come see her or bring her over. We just need a joy booster. And so we see her quite a bit, but I had her over last night. And on my in my home, there's an Advent calendar where you move the star and you get to take a candy out each day. And I did it with my kids growing up, and they always fought over, you know, whose turn it was. And being there were four, they had to wait until the fourth day to get another turn. But, you know, I'm doing this with Haven this year, and so she saw the calendar, and I was teaching her how to move the star, take a candy. And you know, it's interesting, she loved it, but she figured out that there was more candy in there. And so I had to explain to her, no, you know, it's you have to wait till tomorrow to get another candy. And so, you know, interestingly, she wasn't going for it. And at 3 years old, she has figured out how to quietly just look at you with a certain look, and just bat her eyes and say please in a certain way where my once no became a quick yes. And so I ended up giving in and giving her another candy. But, man, my resistance melted and I had to say yes. But I delight in blessing my granddaughter. And God, the creator of heaven and earth, delights to bless his children. And at Christmas time, we get an opportunity to again reflect and remember God's great love for us. And so we can remember that the promised Savior, Jesus, was announced at the very beginning back in Genesis. That promise in Genesis 3:15. And at Christmas time, it's a reminder of God and who he is, that he is faithful to his word. And that he desires that men and women should be saved if they repent and put their faith in Christ Jesus. So in Genesis, there was this promise. And then here in the New Testament days where we are living in, there is the birth of Jesus Christ. And they had to wait and anticipate. And I can only tell you that when Haven, before her birthday, and I got the call from my daughter that, hey, it's time. There was so much anticipation and waiting for this baby to come. And when we heard the news, we bolted. We bolted for the door. We were there. But how much more anticipation and waiting and excitement for the birth of the Savior of the world? That's what we're going to focus on today, because nothing compares to the birth of the one who would save the world. I like to remember that in the book that we'll be reading from, Matthew, it talks about the virgin conceiving and bearing a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. And we sang it this morning, and it means God with us. Finally, he's here. He has been born. The anticipated Savior of the world is here. But interestingly, unlike how you and I might imagine the Savior of the world coming into the world, that there would be some type of fanfare, some type of throng of people, he was born in a manger, not a castle, not a mansion, but a manger, humbly, without the fanfare a king should receive. So with that, we're gonna look at Matthew 2. Verses 1 through 12, if you have your Bibles, please open them there. And we're going to take a look at three different responses to hearing the news of Jesus Christ's birth. And while you're turning there, I will go ahead and pray once more for our morning. Father God, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we are living in a time where, yes, the Messiah has been born. Lord, that we can celebrate during this time, not just at Christmas, but every day, Lord, that you sent your son Jesus to live and to die for us so that we might be saved and restored to a right relationship with you. God, I pray for every woman here, including myself. God, give us ears to hear. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that distractions would be put aside and help us to lean in, God, and hear what you would have us hear this morning. Lord, I pray for those who are hurting, who are feeling hopeless, who are feeling lost. God, that they may find peace and comfort and restoration. Only that can be found in Jesus. We pray, Lord, that that would take place today. And we pray this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. All right, well, turn with me again to Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. It says this, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Verse 7, "Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him.' After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was." Verse 10, "When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way." You know, don't miss this amazing passage and what God tells us about the birth of his son, Jesus. God is telling the story of three different people and three different responses to the news of Jesus' birth. You know, in our times with birth announcements, there are no longer phone calls or just word of mouth. We now have parents proudly arranging photo sessions and designing cards, mailing them out, and also posting on social media. But God's birth announcement came in a very different way. And we're going to learn how one of three people responded, and only one responded with joy and excitement. Three people in this passage, they are the wise men, King Herod, and the Jewish religious leaders. Each heard the news, but responded to what they believed about Jesus. You see, the wise men believed that Jesus was the king of the Jews. Herod believed he was a threat. And the Jewish religious leaders, they believed he was nothing. He was insignificant. How is that for a birth announcement? So who were these wise men? The only ones who believed and sought the king of the Jews, according to this account in Matthew, who were they? Well, we know that they were from another nation from the east. They were a group of scholars who studied the stars, astrologers. They were intelligent. They were wealthy. They were Gentiles. They were sinners. You know, I don't know what you've heard about the wise men and the story that you hear each Christmas. And maybe you've seen it in a play where the nativity scene, or perhaps it's at the store, or maybe you even have a nativity scene where it's got the three wise men, it's got the shepherds, it's got an angel, it's got Joseph, Mary, and the baby. But do you know that nowhere does it tell us how many wise men there were? And we have put in three wise men, and most people think it's because of the three gifts that were given, meaning, well, surely three gifts means three wise men. No, it doesn't. It's silent. The Bible's silent on that. But what we can assume was that it was much more than just three. Think about this. Verse 2 says, when they came in, it says they came in asking where he who was born of the king of the Jews was. For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. Verse 3 says, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. Look, there is a commotion taking place because a group of people have come in and is stirring the city with a question of where is the king of the Jews who has been born? So much commotion has taken place that word gets out to King Herod. So King Herod is troubled as well as all Jerusalem with them. And this is what I want us to really catch in this first part of this teaching is that God desires all nations and people to be saved. These were wise men from the East. These were men who dabbled in astrology, perhaps, you know, magic. Wise men are also referred to as the Magi. Maybe you've heard that. But we see God's heart here. That at the birth of the Messiah, that God desires all nations and people to be saved. This is not speaking about the Jewish community, the Jewish nation. Instead, it's a people who are outside of that, Gentiles, who God reveals himself to and who they follow a star to find the newborn king. So maybe what we've heard, the gospel is not for good people who have their acts together. But it's for sinners, those who listen and respond when God calls. God in his love and wisdom doesn't want us to miss this. He's made it an account in your Bible so that you can look. He draws people from unlikely places with unlikely pasts, unlikely situations to hear and receive the good news of Jesus Christ. I like what one commentator says. He says, men may be born in dark places of the earth, like these wise men were, and yet, like them, be made wise unto salvation. No one is too far from the long arm of God to save. Who has it that you've written off as a lost cause, perhaps impossible? Or maybe that's you this morning, or maybe you have failed too many times. Or perhaps you feel like you are in the darkest of places that God cannot reach you. Let's let God's word encourage you this morning, beloved. Our God, he is mighty to save. So how did these wise men learn about the king of the Jews? It's not mentioned. Some have speculated that perhaps these wise men are these magi. Maybe they were men that were from Babylon, where perhaps after hearing stories that were passed down from the Jewish people who were held captive there, perhaps that's how they heard about this Messiah. But how they heard, it's not known. But what we do know is that God uses a star of all things to catch the attention of these stargazers. He uses a star to guide them to the light of the world, Jesus Christ. God knows how to get my attention, and he knows how to get your attention. Just as he got these wise men and their attention, he can do the same. Because they believed that, yes, indeed, the King of the Jews had been born, they went seeking. What you believe will be evident in your actions. Philippians 3:8 says this, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ." See, they left work, home, and family to follow a star for not just a day or two. We're talking months. They no doubt encountered dangerous areas. They had no idea exactly where they were going, but they were following the star. They crossed foreign lands, and they were navigating through discomforts and not ease. But they knew something, and they believed it. And because of that, they sought Christ Jesus. I love what Oswald Chambers says. He says this, "Faith never knows where it is being led, but it loves and knows the one who is leading." Can I get an amen? Amen. What they believed was evident in their actions. But as their actions showed what they believed, the same is said of the other two people in this passage. We last left off with all of Jerusalem and King Herod. There's a big commotion, there's a stir, and they're feeling very troubled. These wise men again are asking, "Where is he who's born King of the Jews?" And we've seen a star, and we've come to worship him. Again, the wise men believed Jesus to be king, so they sought after him. King Herod believed he was a threat, so he sought to destroy him. The Jewish leaders thought he was nothing, and they sought complacency. They sought comfort. When the chief priests and the scribes were asked by King Herod where the Christ was to be born, they immediately answered Bethlehem. These were men who studied, who wrote the Word of God. They knew. They had it committed to memory. So when that question came right off the bat, Bethlehem. Like, duh, it's Bethlehem. They didn't need to pull a scroll out of the library and go look it up. They knew it. But as much as what they knew, they still did not know God. For if they had known, they would have gone with the wise men to Bethlehem. But in this account, these men who had studied God's word, committed it to memory, had written it, they did not go. They were indifferent. They thought Jesus was nothing. They did not go even to investigate. Wouldn't you want to, like, well, perhaps, maybe, we've got this group of wise men that have come in. They're searching for a king that they say has been born, but they don't even bother to go investigate and see if it's true. Again, they're indifferent. They can't be bothered. Little did they know that the Savior of the world was just 5 miles from them. John 1:11 says this, "He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him." And that is what we're seeing here. Again, sadly, you can have all the knowledge of God and still not know him. If we know truth, we must act upon it. What keeps you from seeking God? Have you been invited to go and see? But have you settled for indifference and complacency? Have you settled for the distractions of the world? Because there are many out there, ladies, that keep us from seeking after Christ. Isaiah 55:6 says this, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." While the religious leaders, they sought complacency, King Herod sought destruction. He was threatened. In verse 8, it says, "And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him.'" You know, he approached the wise men very kindly, but very deceitfully. He had no intention of worshiping the King of the Jews. But I'll tell you this, his actions, they revealed that he did believe that this was the King of the Jews. Because what did he do? He sought to destroy him. His actions show that he believed. But because he believed that Jesus was born, he was going to destroy him. And think about this. Anybody that thinks seriously on Jesus will believe he's a threat to their own kingdom. Because, see, if we believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, if we believe that he is King, then we must bend the knee and submit to his lordship, his will, his purposes. It's no longer my life, but it's a life that I live for him. Acknowledging Jesus as King would mean that we would approach humbly, not being proud or self-seeking as King Herod was. He was out to protect his kingdom and his throne. He was lost and headed to hell, but he couldn't even see that it was Jesus who was the light of the world, the Savior, King. And we see how far he's lost and ruled by sin when, after learning that the wise men don't return to tell him where the King of the Jews is, what does he order? And this you wouldn't have read because we didn't read it together, but if you read further on the account, he orders the killing of all babies, baby boys, 2 and under, to be killed in that region of Bethlehem. So by his actions, we know that he did believe that this was the King of the Jews. We're all bending the knee to someone or something. But there's only one king in which to bow and worship, and that is Jesus Christ. The wise men, again, they believed Jesus was king and sought to worship. And we see their long journey showing every bit worthy of the travel, the weight, the trouble, the discomfort. It was worth it. Matthew 2:10-11 says this: when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. See, genuine faith responds in glad surrender. We're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, and with all our soul, and with all our mind. The light of the world had come, and the wise men knew this to be true. They gladly bended their knee and worshiped and gave of not just themselves, but of their resources, everything of what they were and who they were, they gave to him. See, submission lacking love is drudgery. But submission with love for God, it's joy. You gladly surrender. You gladly submit. It's not that place of following Christ, I have to do this. I have to go to church. I have to pray. I have to read my Bible. I have to do this, dot, dot, dot. No, it's I get to do this. I get to encounter the living God in a personal and real way. I get to know him more and more each day. And his grace, it's endless and it's overflowing. It is a joy to serve and love the one who died to set us free, ladies. See, the wise men, they traveled from afar, not knowing where the next day would find them, but they loved and trusted the one who was leading them. And they were not disappointed. You know, I know for me, when I am traveling or if I'm going any place and I don't have directions or we're lost, I become very unhappy. I get frustrated and I immediately would go find and ask somebody, tell me where we're going because I don't want to keep going lost. But I want you to think about this. These wise men, they were following the star to find Christ. They did not know all the answers, but they knew that they were going to follow and find Christ, whatever it took. That is the type of life that God is calling us to as Christians. He wants us to follow no matter the cost, no matter the discouragement, no matter the discomfort. He wants us to follow. And there's joy when we follow. Romans 10:11 says this, "For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame." You won't be put to shame. So ladies, this child that is born on Christmas Day, his name is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and this is who the wise men found. Where are you this morning, beloved? Who do you say Jesus is? Are you King Herod, refusing to bow your knee? Are you a religious leader, complacent and indifferent, not wanting to go and seek after Christ? Or are you with the wise men? Are you believing and seeking after him? See, everywhere else that we seek, it's futile and it's empty. If you're seeking comfort, if you're seeking it in the things of this world, if you're seeking it in your situation to change, if you're seeking it in a person to change, you will always be disappointed. But if you are seeking after Christ Jesus, you will never be disappointed. See, Jesus says, "Come. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Jesus was born a baby, but he lived as a man. He was crucified. He died and was buried on the third day. But he buried and rose on the third day, defeating sin and death. And see, anyone who repents, and repents just means to change your mind, to turn from going one direction to another, following after Christ. It's a changing of what you believe about Jesus Christ. Anyone who repents and places their faith in Jesus Christ as Savior King, he will save. And his grace, ladies, it's big enough, it's wide enough, it's long enough to save you. No one is too far gone from the long arm of God to save. Amen? Let me pray. Father God, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for, Lord, just saving us. We thank you for the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ, who is the hope of the world. There is no other place that we can find peace, joy, restoration. It cannot be found anywhere else but you. Lord, we thank you, God, for Jesus. Lord, we pray, God, Lord, that, Lord, I pray for anyone here, God, who has found themselves wandering or lost and have not placed their faith in you, Christ Jesus. We pray this morning, God, that they would see that your arms are open wide and that you are saying, come, come and find rest. Come and find peace. Come and find salvation in the only one who is the truth, the life, and the way, Jesus Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.